This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Next up, you may be aware of how new genes are formed through the gradual process of mutation and natural selection on existing genes. But this might not be the case for all new genes. Some appear to arise seemingly from nowhere. These de novo genes are the subject of a feature written by Adam Levy, who's here to explain more.
The Atlantic cod is one hardy fish. If you've ever sampled the quintessentially British dish that is fish and chips, then you've most likely met the Atlantic cod. But there's far more to this species than meets the dinner plate.
So they show a remarkable ability to adapt to different environments.
This is ecologist and geneticist Hella Tessan-Bolsrud.
It can come into contact with freezing conditions, which is quite serious if you're a cold-blooded species. If you come into freezing waters, that is potentially lethal.
But this codfish has a death-defying trick up its sleeve in the form of an antifreeze protein.
Well, they basically prevent ice crystals in their blood from growing, but no one knew how they evolved.
So Hella set out to trace the history of the gene behind the protein. Hella knew that all genes come from the material of pre-existing genes that is repurposed or recombined in some way. So she should have been able to see the relatives of the antifreeze gene in the DNA of the cod's cousins. But
I couldn't find any genes in any database that were similar to the antifreeze protein genes, and that was strange to me. I guess I was mostly trying to figure out what I was doing wrong.
No matter how hard she looked, nothing turned up. And then Hella found something surprising. A body of literature from a field only a few years old that suggested that genes can be built from scratch from non-coding DNA, the DNA that doesn't encode for useful molecules.
At first, I thought I don't have a story here because I can't find their relatives, and then that became the story.
The cod's antifreeze protein is an example of a de novo gene. A gene that's born new rather than through changes to the code for well-oiled pre-existing proteins. The first papers presenting the case for specific de novo genes only date back to 2006. Geneticist Aoife McLysett, one of the earlier researchers to publish in the field, still remembers how much skepticism there was for her work.
Someone wrote, "When I saw the title of this paper, I couldn't believe it was possibly true." thankfully, they read on and were convinced by our data. But, you know, that was the general attitude. You don't get genes this way. It was just considered such an improbable route to the origin of a new gene.
It took so long for researchers to convince themselves and others that genes really could be built from scratch because it's so easy to overlook something. If you have a gene in one species, but no relatives of that gene in the DNA of the species' relatives, that could mean any number of things. Maybe your search just wasn't good enough, or maybe the species where the gene is missing just lost its copy of the gene.
And so in order to be confident that you're looking at something that really is a de novo gene, you want to have positive evidence of the absence of the gene, not just that you can't find it.
Researchers want to be absolutely sure that the gene really did arise from non-coding DNA. So if they can find the non-coding DNA in related species that would have given rise to the gene in question, then they can be pretty certain they have a de novo gene on their hands, the code for a molecule where no code used to be. But the field is still full of questions. How? There are plenty of ideas, including evidence of a grey area between gene and not gene, giving room for de novo genes to be beta tested before launch. How often? Estimates vary widely, with one study identifying 15 in primates and another finding 60 in humans alone. And, of course, why? Why would evolution do this? Why would a gene evolve from scratch rather than through tweaking the pre-existing code for carefully crafted molecules? Well, the very novelty of de novo genes could allow them to perform completely novel tasks.
One possible idea is that a gene that originates this way is more radically different than a gene that originates by other routes. So every now and again, it produces something that is different and useful.
I've spoken to a lot of researchers working on this newly born field. And while they're generally certain that genes can be born de novo, there's still plenty of disagreement about some of the fundamentals. But one thing everyone seems to agree on is that there's plenty more to learn about these oddball genes.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in terms of de novo genes moving on to their next stage. You know, so we're confident now that they exist and they're real. And now we want to know a lot more about how they contribute, how they have made a difference in the evolution of organisms and how they have contributed to evolutionary innovation.
That was Aoife McLeisett of Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. You also heard from Helle Tessand Bolstre of the University of Oslo in Norway. You can increase your knowledge of how genes can form de novo over at nature.com, where you'll find the feature written by Adam.